Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. My family recently has been watching a lot of a show called The Good Place on Netflix. I don't know if any of you know this show. I'll explain a little bit of it to you, though, so you kind of get the gist. In this show, four people die, and they go to the good place. The good place, like heaven, that's the idea. But the good place, heaven, is actually just the bad place, hell, in disguise. Because the demons have come up with this idea that instead of having to torment and torture people when they die all the time, that they're going to have the people torture each other. And so these four people have been handpicked to kind of psychologically torture one another and to be tortured for a really, really long time. It doesn't work, but that's why it's a show and it lasts for lots and lots of episodes. But throughout this, in the background of this, the background of it is that the way people go either to the good place or to the bad place is based on a point system. You do something good for someone, you get a few points. You do something bad, you lose some points. And the only way you're gonna go to the good place is if you have more points than bad points. And of course, well, maybe not of course, but I'm telling you, this is not actually how God says it works, but that's how a lot of us act like it works. There's even this one episode where there's this guy, I think his name is Doug, and he has lived his life as good as he can. He tries to do things all the time good for other people because he realizes this is only a rational decision. He has to make every choice he can to get good points so that, because it could affect him eternally whether he's going to go to the good place or the bad place. So, like, I feel like somehow a snail gets stepped on or something and he ends up, you know, trying to heal the snail, and then has a whole funeral service for the snail. I mean, it's just goofy. And what's goofy about this whole show, I think, is that everyone is so self-centered the whole time. But it only makes sense, because you have to always be worried about how good or bad you're being, because it's going to affect you forever. Being self-centered, that's a problem. I mean, in fact, one of the definitions of sin is to be turned in on oneself, to be focused just on what you're doing. And that can be whether we're doing bad things or even good things. If you're doing good things just to look better in other people's eyes, or even just to get to the good place, wouldn't that be kind of bad? Because you're selfish or being focused on yourself? I think so. Here's the thing, though. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, you don't need to worry anymore about whether you're going to the good place or the bad place. Because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. So even if you've just done a bunch of bad things, you know that your sins are forgiven, and that by faith in Jesus, your destination is the good place. You don't have to be worried about yourself anymore. Now you can be worried about others, okay? But this is the blessing of being a Christian, that we don't have to worry about that anymore. We don't have to be self-centered. But the thing is, I think that today, in our society especially, even more so than in the past, even us, we as Christians, we are still self-centered and selfish when it comes to our faith. We are focused only on ourselves. And I think, in fact, the church, my sermons, all the things we talk about, it kind of reinforces that we should be focused just on ourselves and our faith. For instance, church is almost, I want to know if you think this is true, but it kind of becomes just about you and Jesus, or me and Jesus. So I ask myself these questions like, well, how have I been doing lately? Have I been reading my Bible enough? How is my faith life growing? Do I like the sermon? Did it encourage me this week? Are the songs inspiring me this week? How do I feel about my relationship with God? Have I been feeling guilty lately? I mean, all these questions are good questions. I'm not saying they're not good. It's just, they're all about me. They're all about me and God. Am I saved or not? You know, am I born again or not? Like, all these questions that Christians ask themselves, they're very self-centered. We're all just interested in our walk with Jesus. And we kind of don't often think about other people. But that's the problem. Because Jesus died on the cross to save you, it's true. But also to give your life meaning. And if your life is just about you being saved, or you growing in your faith, or you getting to know Jesus better, well, you're missing out. Because Jesus died so that you might get to focus on the rest of the world instead of just yourself. That's what gives our life meaning, the other people in the world, our relationships with other people, helping them to know Jesus, helping them to just get through whatever situation they're going through in their life. That's what can give our life meaning. I was looking at this story this last week about the Good Samaritan, and I was interested because the first two people, the priest and then the Levite, they're the most important, best religious people in town, okay? And I wonder if the reason they didn't help this guy on the side of the road is that they had good religious reasons for not doing it. For instance, that priest, he would have known better. Like all the kids that were up here, they knew that they should help somebody on the side of the road. You'd better believe this priest knew it too. So why didn't he help? You gotta wonder. I think it was because he had some good religious reasons not to. For instance, if you've been going through the Bible in a year, you've already passed this at this point, but you might have had to go through the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And you probably had to read some of these chapters that were all about what to do if you happened to come in contact with someone with a weird sore on their arm with a hair growing out of it. I mean, there's all these rules now of how to clean yourself and how if you touch a dead body, you're going to have to spend the next 7 days going through all these rituals of cleanliness. And the priest knew that. And if this guy over here that was partly dead ends up dying and he touched him, now he's got to spend a week out of work. He's got to spend a week going through all this stuff. He's got to spend a week unclean in God's sight. So maybe he thought, it's better just not to mess with this. It's better just to keep going. Right? I've got other things to do and I don't want to mess around. I mean, who knows? I don't know why he passed by on the other side, but I have a feeling he had some justifications for why he did it. Some good self-centered religious reasons why. Like, this isn't going to be good for my relationship with God. Might be good for this guy on the side of the road, but not for me. The Levite wouldn't have been as important of a religious person at the time, but still important. He might not have had the job that the priest had, but still, he knew the rules. And he knew if he goes over and helps this person, it ends up not being a good situation. He might spend another week after having touched a dead body. Or maybe he's just around a person that he's not supposed to be. Maybe other people in town are going to wonder about him. Why were you hanging out with so-and-so? I don't know. It just makes me wonder if they had religious, faith-like reasons for not helping this guy. I think sometimes we fall into the same trap. We think about helping somebody, and sometimes we're just too busy, but sometimes we think, what will other people say if I help this person? Or will I know how to help them? Or will this person lead me into a situation that will make me uncomfortable? Or we come up with all these excuses for why not to help. And some of them are religious because we're so focused on me and Jesus that we forget that Jesus died so that we'd be able to serve other people. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. And we're called to do the same thing. We're called to make our lives, the reason our lives have meaning is because we're able to love other people and serve other people. That's why we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're empowered to do this, not just to tell other people how we're saved, not just to come to church and say, wow, golly, I'm so glad I'm saved again this week. I'm so glad that I've got my sins forgiven. No, we hear those words so that we go out and make a difference in the lives of other people. And I like to read about like history. I like to learn about what the world was like before I was born, this kind of thing. And I think the Christian church kind of had it more right back earlier in the 20th century, right? Because when you hear about the big issues of the time, like, you know, who were some of the, well, of course, there are Christians on both sides of all of these issues, unfortunately. But there were lots of Christians that were fighting for abolition, right? To get rid of slavery. Christians were some of the biggest leaders of that movement. Even women's right to vote, which there were more Christians against that, I would say, at the time, but there were still a lot of Christians that were fighting for it because it was talking about human dignity. And they believed that all people ought to be able to have the right to have a say over about what happened in their life. When you hear about the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King Jr. is, of course, a big famous person, but there were lots of Christians who were working so that there would be equality in our country. And a lot of these same Christians were fighting against poverty. They were trying to find a way so that all people, no matter what class they were in, would be able to have a living wage, and how that they would find a way to be able to be a full part of society. I mean, there are so many examples, and churches were known not by the fact that, you know, oh, I'm saved, but they were known as what effect they had on their community, on the world. If you go to Des Moines, if you go to the hospital, I mean, you've got Methodist Hospital, you've got Lutheran Hospital, you've got Mercy, which is really a Catholic, supported by the Catholic Church. Think about it. Why are these hospitals named after Christian denominations? Well, because Christians understood in the past that it was their job, the way that they found meaning in life was to help other people. And the reason that the first hospitals were made was so that we could help people who were down and out. And Christians saw that as their job. Or the nursing home, like the Good Samaritan Center that was here. You know, this church was part of starting that nursing home. A lot of nursing homes were begun because Christians said, we need to take care of those who are older, who need to be able to live out the rest of their lives with dignity. This is what Christians used to be all about. But now I feel like we're all tempted to make it just about me, right? My faith. About how I feel today about my relationship with Jesus. Now, I always want us to be focused on making disciples, of course. So if you are interested in making disciples, I want you to consider that how you care for other people can really help. A lot of times, if you see someone that's in need and you help them out, like truly just want to help them, that's the way that they're going to start being interested in things like where you go to church, what you believe in, you know? I mean, at first they might not be, but if they know that you care about them, if you're interested in making disciples, stop worrying about what you're going to say about your faith and just look around and see if there's somebody to help. See if there's somebody that you can make a difference in their life. Because once you start making a difference in their life, then maybe they'll be interested in what you know and what you care about. But even discipleship, I think, can get a little bit self-centered, right? Am I being a good disciple? What am I doing to be a good disciple today? Who am I interested in discipling? I mean, it all becomes about me. So I want us to focus also on what we can do as a community. Like, what is our church doing? Not just what you're doing personally, but what is our church doing? What can we do? I'm not going to have enough time to talk about all these possibilities. But I thought that as a church, we could consider the following things. This real practical things that we could do in our community. First of all, is everyone that's in our church involved in serving our church? Now, I know a lot of you are, but if you, well, think about some ways to just serve. For instance, there are readers, there are greeters, there are people that need to help, you know, pour coffee, get the coffee ready, hospitality. There are people that sing, there are people that play instruments, there are people that are working back in the sound booth. There are lots of ways to be involved and to serve at church. Why is this important? Well, because if you just come to church and you're never involved in any type of serving, you can easily become a consumer. You just take in what church is giving you. It all becomes about whether you're happy that morning or not. And it's not really about anybody else. Even when I'm about to give a sermon, honestly, sometimes I go up and say, God, just help me give a good sermon. Help people to be really happy with the sermon. But that's just really about me. This morning before I gave my sermon, I remember thinking, God, please help others to get a lot out of this. I don't want this to be about me. I don't want them to think of whether this is a good Pastor Brower sermon or not. Help them to get something out of it. That's what it should be about. Not about me, but about them. About you, right? So if you come to church and you're never involved in any type of service, you might be missing out on what church is really about, which is serving other people and learning how, practicing serving other people, so that when we leave this place, it becomes about others as well. So that's one thing you could do. I know that Denise had mentioned that she needs help with VBS. If that's something you're interested in doing, that is another way that we as a church can support our community. The last thing I wanted to mention was coming up next Saturday. The Methodist Church in Greenfield is doing Meals from the Heartland event at the Adair County Fairgrounds. They need like 70 people. And if that's something you're interested in doing, I think you would really enjoy it, because you would see that together as churches, as a community, we can make a difference on a wider scale. Maybe you've heard this before. People sometimes say, I'm spiritual, not religious. Have you ever heard someone say this? Or they'll say, I don't like organized religion. Being spiritual is a real personal, individualistic kind of way of thinking about things. Me and Jesus. Religious is something that we have to do with other people. Organized religion, I think, is better than disorganized religion. I think when we can come together, we can make a bigger impact on the world than just me by myself. And that's really what I think we're called to do. So I'd like you this week to really to question yourself. Have you made faith just about you and Jesus? Or could you maybe start to think of it more as, what has Jesus called you to do for others? There is a great little poem that I want to end with. It's written by one of the great hero of the faith, St. Francis of Assisi. So if you'd be willing to, I'd like you to pray this with me at the end here. It says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.